Welcome to AM Best Audio.
This is William Borden from AM Best Audio. I spoke with Brian Jorgensen, Vice President of Pet Insurance at MetLife Inc. and CEO of MetLife Pet Insurance Solutions. We spoke about the fast-growing pet insurance sector and how changing lifestyle dynamics are fueling that growth.
Could you give me a little bit of an overview of the pet insurance business?
Yeah, absolutely. So the pet insurance business is ultimately all about making sure that pet parents have financial coverage in the case of the unexpected. That's why we're there. And we support accident and illness, and we also support wellness. And we can talk a little bit more about that in the future. However, we also have one of the best apps to support the overall pet parent experience in the industry. And we find the high utilization of that to be a just demonstration of the excitement that people have and the, honestly, I think what it comes down to is the passion that people have for their pets.
And within that app, how does that help promote engagement with your customers?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So our pets, who in this day and age, you know this as much as anybody else, right? You know, your pets are beloved family members. They are, for many folks, they view them as their children, their furry kids, however they want to think about it. And it's more important than ever that people actually have the right resources, the right solutions, the right information, the right data about their pets right at their fingertips and be able to care for them in a moment. And that's where our app really steps in. We've taken this high-tech but high-touch approach so that folks have a seamless experience and meets their needs where they are when they need it. That's what we're here for.
Now, I know a lot of competing apps and have like telehealth features within sure. their platform. How does MetLife incorporate the telehealth feature with reaching pet parents and offering care?
No, great question. So we've actually got a range of features in there. So it really just serves as a digital companion. So you certainly have the pet insurance component where you can get in there and you can manage your policies. You can you know, make updates about pets, submit pictures of your pets or bills or whatever you need. But then, yeah, you also have access to 24/7 vet chat. That's the telehealth piece. And really what that gets you is quick answers to any questions that might arise at any time of day or night from licensed veterinarians. And we have found that the opportunity to have that level of access, that level of expertise at any time, day or night, without having to schedule a visit, has made it one of the most utilized parts of our connected pet experience that includes the app.
Ryan, are there telehealth tools that incorporate treatment records that help support veterinarians?
It's interesting. It often works but in the other direction, where the vet is the one with the information and we're the ones trying to access that information. That often is the direction that it goes. And that's just because for a lot of folks, you know, pet insurance is a relatively new thing. It's a fast-growing industry, and people are becoming more and more aware of it with every passing day. Whereas, on the other hand, the vets have been around for quite some time, and we definitely have a system of connected vets where they have, similar to how you have in human medical industry, you have, you know, practice management information systems where you have all this data, all the records, all the health information is there. Mm-hmm. And in many cases, what the insurance company is interested in doing is being able to access that so that we can get a claim process quickly.
And I guess that whole element of having that telehealth system on your platform, that could also feed some of your own information gathering when it comes time to set future rates or actually outline maybe protocols for treatment. I mean, I don't know, you don't provide medical care, but you can actually give data points to help give a light of reference for the caregiver.
Yeah. Yeah. And often, again, what we find, first of all, we engage in a lot of research as MetLife, but including MetLife Pet. And we're constantly seeking to understand the relationships between the healthy pets out there and call them lifestyle factors, things that might actually contribute to that. And there's a lot of data. And what we're really trying to seek is, how do we get past just correlation and really getting more causation, just statistically mm-hmm. speaking? More to come on that, though. We don't have anything definitive that we've shared on those relationships, just because we're really trying to understand the relationships well before we put anything out there. But those are studies that not just us, but other organizations with whom we work, such as the Human-Animal Bond Research Institute, mm-hmm. are exploring to better understand those corresponding relationships. It's a huge field. It really is.
And I'm sure that's one that helps your approach to artificial intelligence and yes. other big data gathering efforts in the future as well.
For sure. Yeah, there's no doubt about it that in this age of generative AI, that was a big term of art for a while. Agentic AI is the latest term that people are mm-hmm. throwing around a lot. And whatever the next one is, our whole approach is to take advantage of the tools that are out there to be able to provide the absolute best service possible to our pet parents. That involves making sure that we are making as appropriate changes to our product to better support their needs and the changing needs of the pet health world. Being able to support our pet parents by being able to process claims more rapidly. And there's definitely ways that technology is able to support that. And we are constantly seeking ways to improve our use of technology in those ways. It is an ever-evolving world, as you well know, and it is something that we try to stay as close to the leading edge without being on that cutting or bleeding edge that can have negative consequences if you go too far, too fast.
Let somebody else make the mistakes and learn from them.
I try to learn from people's mistakes all the time.
So you had mentioned that the industry is a fast-growing business. Mm. What sort of growth are you seeing in the business right now, and what factors are driving it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a great question. It is growing rapidly. I can give you some data. I think the things that are really driving that, it has to be shifting lifestyles, shifts in that humanization of pets out there that's going on. But also, I think it's shifting because of rising costs. You know, big drivers like vet costs increase, pet ownership is definitely a thing. Certainly, we all know that during COVID, there was that empty the shelters thing that happened when all the shelters refilled again not long after. And that process continues as the number of pets in the United States, just owned anywhere, continues to rise. But people are really beginning to see also, and this is a key factor, they're really beginning to see pet insurance as a key component of building a financial safety net for their homes. And a lot of folks are saying they're choosing to have pets over children. So as that happens, we're definitely seeing that have a contribution here. But we see about 55% of employees in the U.S., they say pet insurance is an absolute must-have. We have 74% of Gen Z folks are saying that pet insurance is a must-have or a nice-to-have benefit. And employees who actually have pet insurance, and this is one that I always think is a great statement about kind of people who get pet insurance. But people who actually have pet insurance see positive impacts on their financial and social health versus those who don't have it. So we definitely see more and more demand for it. And as a result, we're seeing more and more growth.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
And it's primarily offered through the workplace, through your MetLife relationships?
It's a great question. Yeah, we didn't really talk a lot about the areas that you might find pet insurance. So, generally speaking, pet insurance used to be only offered through either direct to consumer, so finding it on the web, or in some cases, you would find it in a vet hospital. But increasingly, what we're finding is that the market, the highest growing place to actually purchase pet insurance is in the employee benefits space. So often the process that you go through during open enrollment, where you go in and you make your selections and you figure out what you're going to have for the coming year, is a time when people learn about new benefits to which they might have access and didn't know about previously. A lot of folks learn about pet insurance through that nowadays, as MetLife pet insurance is offered more and more and more employer groups now than it ever has been. And that continues to rise. However, you can also get it outside the open enrollment period. It's what we call an evergreen product. So you can get pet insurance at any point in the course of the year, depending on maybe you just got a new pet, new puppy. Guy was just fixing my heater because it's a heat pump, so it provides air conditioning in the summertime because my dog ate the old one. So we're trying to get that repaired, and he was commenting on the fact that they just got a new Rottweiler puppy, and it's growing so fast and it chews on everything. So we want to make sure that pet insurance is there when you need it, and the employer space is a pretty ubiquitous one that we think is going to become the standard for how folks go about acquiring new pet insurance policies.
Versus going to through an agent or buying
Or
online.
finding it online randomly, doing a search for what's the best pet insurance. Generally, what we find is that employees feel very confident allowing their employer to make good choices about benefits that are right for them. So we are tapping into that confidence by selling through the employer channel, and that seems like a great way to go.
You touched on this a little bit earlier about how it is a fast-growing sector, but it's also a very competitive
Oh
sector.
gosh, yes.
I was looking at some of the market share figures out there, and it seems like more of a scrum than one dominant player in the field. And how do you see that competition playing out?
Yeah.
Is it ripe for consolidation? Is it as some of these bigger companies look to figure out where their quote unquote core competencies are.
No, that's a great question. Yeah. And you're right. It's a super competitive space. Scrum is not a terrible word. I just learned friends in Ireland taught me how rugby works and are trying to teach me the rules. So yes, Scrum is not a bad term. And look, you've got legacy insurers, big companies like a MetLife out there offering pet insurance. You also have some, smaller, scrappy, tech-driven folks who are trying to make their way. And definitely the tendency, the trend that we've been seeing is a lot of those smaller ones are getting snapped up, bought by the bigger companies out there. And as that happens, you're therefore beginning to see a little bit more distinct approaches in how people are entering the market. And that's been an interesting evolution over the past 2, 3 years as that consolidation has been happening. In terms of the amount out there, just, how many, how much. So you might have heard of NAPHIA. It's the National American Pet Health Insurance Association. Sorry, North American Pet Health Insurance Association, sorry. And because it includes Canada. And that body has been tracking the pet insurance industry for a while. So they've found that we have about $4.74 billion in total premiums at the end of 2024, which was an increase of about almost 22% over the prior year. And the actual number of pets that are insured in the US also increased pretty significantly, about 21% year over year, now to about 6.4 million. So as that continues to rise, we're going to see a growing number of companies trying to enter the space. And as that happens, I think you'll see even more consolidation. So it's a pretty exciting time. And it's a fun time to be here, as the combined growth over the past 5 years has been about 21%. Very few insurance categories are growing like that. It's usually 2%, 3%, 4%, 5%. We're pretty excited to be in that.
One of the things that I did some background about, there's some regulatory changes. And one of the things that leaped out was Florida has set some terms around coverage and trying to avoid duplicate coverages in the way policies are written, making sure that, you know, the wellness benefit is kind of distinct from the illness and accident benefit. And
right.
I just wanted to see what some of the regulatory trends that MetLife's pet business is facing, and how do you see that playing out in terms of meeting client demands?
Sure. Yeah, that's a really wonderful point. It, like any insurance company, any insurance industry, any insurance product out there, it is highly regulated. And that regulatory environment, I would say, has become more pronounced in recent years. And as that has happened, what you're seeing is, and this is a good thing, I think, for the industry, a greater degree of consistency in the offering. So that pet parents out there want to understand what it is they're buying. They want to understand what it is they're actually finding themselves, now the proud owner of. And unless there is a higher degree of consistency that is regulated by the states, I think we're going to find ourselves in a position where people continue to be somewhat confused about pet insurance. So this actually is a great way to increase standardization, increase visibility for pet insurance, and ultimately it's going to benefit the pet parents. That's the real goal of this kind of regulation. So similar to property and casualty, it is regulated at a state-by-state level. So when, for example, we file our application to say, hey, we have a product that we're interested in selling to consumers in your state, you file that in, 51 municipalities. You got to include DC in there, which is good. And those states then will approve that. Florida's move to clarify this distinction between, okay, we've got insurance for the unexpected, but also wellness plans, is really part of this broader trend where states are just trying to get clear on the guidelines in order to protect consumers and make sure there's greater transparency, which again, I think is a very positive thing. We welcome this because it ultimately helps build trust. It helps ensure pet parents understand exactly what they're getting, as I said. And as the market continues to mature, we expect more states are going to follow suit. And ultimately, we think that is the best thing for the companies, and we think that's the best thing for the real concern, in my mind, the pet parents.
That was Brian Jorgensen, Vice President of Pet Insurance at MetLife and CEO of MetLife Pet Insurance Solutions. I'm William Borden for AM Best Audio.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.